This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Vegas has an amazing food scene. We get new restaurants all the time. But what are the essential eats, right? This is a debate I have with my friends all the time. So today on CityCast Las Vegas, we eavesdrop on a conversation between former co-host Vogue Robinson and contributor Brent Holmes. They run down an amazing list of places that have been here forever and some that are probably destined to go that way. I'm going to tell you, I love this list. It's Thursday, September 14th. I'm David Figler, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about.
What's up, Brent Holmes? Welcome back to CityCast Las Vegas. How are you?
I am well. And you, Vogue?
We're making it. I have my apple juice. I'm ready. Brent, what is one of the oldest restaurants in Las Vegas that locals must try this spot?
Okay. I'm going to start with Bob Taylor's Ranch House.
Oh, my God.
It fulfills in every way my cowboy kink.
Oh, that's true.
It has great burgers. It has amazing ice cream. It has like a really old bar. And it's just like ancient. They've been doing it forever. And somehow it's managed to kind of stay alive all the way out there, too. It's not all the way
through a multi-generational roach infestation, Brent. There's not enough bleach.
I can't speak to any insect relationships over at Bob Taylor's. All I can say is they make an awesome, awesome burger. And it's like a grill and it's right there. And the food still tastes like it was made in like 1970, you know, 1980.
Now, and for the record, they cleaned up their act per the article I read in the Review Journal a while ago. But it was so surprising to me because it's a longstanding restaurant. So they closed temporarily. And of course, they cleaned it all up. And now they're back.
Okay, so I have to say this, like right up front, like our oldies are oldies, which means like, things slowly slip at restaurants. Now, here's what can't slip is the quality of the food. And Bob Taylor's had quality food regardless of what else might have been slipping in their repertoire. And there are far more popular, far worse restaurants that are far grosser that everybody goes to all the time.
Oh, that's how you feel. Look, okay, Brent Holmes. So, I mean, let's talk about oldies, right? We're talking about Bob Taylor. Bob Taylor is circa 1955.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what is even old in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is like 117, 120 years old. It's in that range. So that's the age of Vegas. So what's an old restaurant in Vegas?
Well, I think that becomes like part of the problem. I have old and new old, right?
Like, okay, let's start with old.
Okay, I believe Vegas goes through phases, but like, okay, old, the steakhouse on top of Binion's Horseshoe. Again, almost all of your old olds are going to be Italian or, you know, steakhouse fare. Those are the things that have managed to survive in this city for decade upon decade upon decade. You've got great places like the Italian American Club. You've got, of course, I think, without a doubt, the Golden Steer is old in Vegas. Mm. And that's, you know, they're all over 50 years old. And that's a long run for a city that bases most of its, you know, culinary production on trend, right? And a city that really has exploded with seriously diverse populations.
Word.
You know, we're an incredible city for a lot of different cuisines. but our olds are going to go all the way back to the 50s and 40s, right?
Right. I would say that's the era for old, old Vegas. And I think a lot of the restaurants you mentioned are definitely from the 50s, especially some of that Italian and steakhouse fare.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, one of the bonuses there is like you get to sit in the weird leather booth that Sammy Davis Jr. had to wriggle his little legs out of, you know, over at the Golden Steer. Like, you can do that. It's the same, like, you know.
Sammy's booty was right here.
Yeah, Sammy's little butt was like, yeah, baby, give me another martini. Something like weird like
get
that. Get
out of here. Oh, my
so,
God.
You can do that. That's incredible, right? There are certainly more venerable eateries in other cities that are literally hundreds of years old. But Vegas is a new city, like you said.
Okay, so that's old, old. What age is new old?
I'd say 25 years old. Okay. Place and what I like to cite as new old also is like, you know, Echiza over in Chinatown. That's new old.
I love that.
They've been around for about 25 years, and they're like the first credible Japanese izakaya in the city. And even though that's like a relatively contemporary cuisine by American standards, they've been doing it forever by Las Vegas standards, which if you can stay open for more than 5 years in Vegas as a restaurant, that's a pretty solid run.
How would we describe Vegas food tradition? Like, do you think that Italian and steakhouse fare, is that our claim to fame?
It has to be. I mean, for whatever else you want to say about it, we don't have a strong or long culinary history, right? We don't have a real regional cuisine identity. All of our culinary identities are imported. So you end up over at somewhere like Binion's, right? Benny Binion opens the Horseshoe. And, you know, when he gets to a certain point, he puts this steakhouse on top of it that's got that in the round view of what was a much smaller city at the time with your classic New York Strip porterhouse, whatever kind of steak you want, get it whatever way you like. And that was fine dining, but I think there's something more to the steakhouse underneath it all. It's really big dining. It's American dining, and it's that American ideal of largesse, right? We could have like a million great little French spots, but we don't. That's fine dining too. We do have some really elegant Japanese and Chinese and Szechuan places now. But as far as Americana goes, the steakhouse isn't just delicious. It isn't just expensive. It's also big. There's something about it that feels so inevitably and grossly American.
That you hit it. I was like, as you were saying that, I was like, of course. What is Vegas food tradition? Why, darling, it's excess.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of flexing. So I was reading through this really good RJ article by Greg Thilmont, and it's like probably a 2-year-old article. But in that article, he also talked about the fact that the first celebrity restaurant on the Strip was Wolfgang Puck Spago. What did it change about Vegas's cultural like food landscape?
First off, big ups to Greg Thilmont. Rip, homie. He was one of our better food writers and one of my favorite guys to get a bite to eat with. I think when you talk about Spago, you are looking at the beginning of food as attraction in Las Vegas. The initial Vegas draw was you can go to the buffet, you can get a really great deal, it's all you can eat, or your 99-cent shrimp cocktail, your top-of-the-world steakhouse, whatever it was. But then Wolfgang Puck shows up and he validates Vegas as a city that you can actually have some culinary exploration. This is the second Spago location in America is Las Vegas. The first one is his Los Angeles Spago location where he made, you know, his name, where he really changed, you know, how LA ate. And then he came to Vegas and had that deal. And it is a Vegas classic at this point. And it's never bad. It's never gone down in quality. I've never once gone to Spago and said, it was okay. It's always great. It's always on point. Like the most basic thing on their menu, I think, is still like the smoked salmon pizza, which is that smoked salmon with that little bit of caviar on top and like a dollop of like creme fraiche. And it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And it tastes incredible. It looks beautiful. And there's a bunch of other great things at Spago, but I know that one, boom. I know, waitress, just bring me the smoked salmon pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have now culinarily, when you look at the way that Wolfgang Puck put his menu together, and when you look around the city at what blossomed out of that, we are a city of fine dining, not a city of steakhouses because of Spago.
Ooh, oh, I like that. That was clean.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Now, locals are always talking about how nothing lasts in Vegas. You know, we blow up our old casinos. We don't preserve that many buildings. So, I mean, but do you think that we appreciate our older restaurants more than our other institutions?
I do, but I think we appreciate them for nostalgic reasons, for the most part. I mean, I haven't even gotten on the new old, like kind of when we had the first inklings of Mexican cuisine show up in the city too, which really, yeah. You talk 25 years ago, that wasn't, you know, but like go down Charleston, hit Esmeralda's Cafe. Their pupusas are off the chain. They make great burritos. They make really standard fare. It's really terrific food. Do we appreciate it? Not really. Why do we appreciate the Golden Steer? Because Sammy Davis's little patootie was in there, right? Why do we appreciate Binion's? Because it has that kind of old Vegas sensibility. And I think we have nostalgia reasons for keeping those things alive as much as we have culinary reasons for keeping them alive.
I was thinking about what you were saying about, you know, what does it mean to be old in Vegas? And also to think about the time barrier between who could get and raise capital to open up a restaurant, right? So you've got to take in those factors of women-owned business, of minority-owned businesses, and that there's a shift in between when people could start opening things. So you talked about Mexican cuisine. What are other, you know, cultural cuisines that came in the new old?
I mean, Thai cuisine, right? Lotus is new old classic, right? You can't, you cannot even deny that Lotus set a standard for our city that makes us have at least good quality Thai food at almost every Thai restaurant in this town, right? That's because Lotus was here and they established that. I'll say this, one of my great sorrows is the kind of deterioration of our Indian cuisine.
Oh.
We've lost a lot of the Indian restaurants that were here just 20 years ago. And even though we do have some really nice places like Ronnie's, like Mint, that you can get pretty quality Indian food, a lot of the older places like Gandhi's or India Oven are gone.
Yeah. The other, you know, cuisine that you mentioned was Mexican food. And when I think about that, I think about Lindo Michoacan. And I know that in 1980, Dona Maria's Tamales also opened up.
Yes, yes. And that's part of the late 80s, early 90s construction boom, where we have this real influx of Mexican-American communities, you know, building the casinos and becoming hospitality and service workers, and they start to create restaurants that feed their craving for their own cultural cuisine. But I think you would have been hard pressed to find anything really resembling Mexican cuisine outside of maybe North Las Vegas or well away from the Strip pre-1980. And Lindo, at this point, it's an institution, right? It's as venerable to my mind, particularly in that community, as the Golden Steer.
What's a new place that you think will become like the new Vegas institution?
Oh, man, I hate you guys.
we love you. Top three, top three.
Top three, Izakaya Go. Izakaya Go for Japanese food, 110%. I think that they're building a really good track record. They're building off of what Achiza did. They're building off of what Araku did. I think, like, they're one heck of an Izakaya. I mean, I'm going to have to say on... I mean, okay, let's be fair here. Tacos El Gordo.
Hey.
They're an institution already. They really service an aspect of the community that feels like Vegas, right? Like they've got some kind of new Vegas flair that really feels, you know, up to date within the last 5 to 10 years. And again, like, I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon. Out of all of this, I'm going to bypass your question and I'm going to make one more shout out to something that I think we've overlooked, which is the historic West Side. And I can cite two Vegas standards right there. Grits Cafe and Mario's West Side are definitely the institutions of that neighborhood, right? They are irrefutable.
They're going to expand soon.
Oh, really? That's so hot. Mm-hmm. I love that. I cannot wait. That sounds really, that's like more exciting than I can possibly explain. So that's not new necessarily, but that's certainly, there's certainly institutions that are very overlooked outside of a very specific in the know part of the community.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing them up. So what's the secret sauce for the restaurants that have managed to last 25 plus years in Vegas?
I think the secret sauce is a combination of understanding place and producing quality food. It's in attitude as much as it's in mastery, right?
Mm-hmm.
They know exactly what they do. And one of the secret sauces here is they don't deviate from it, right? Chicago Joe's is not going to try and convince me to eat anything but Oysters Rockefeller, right? They're going to give me a good slice of lasagna. The same thing's going to happen over at the Italian American Club or at, you know, Golden Steer. They're not trying to fancy it up and they're not trying to change the game. And that's a lot of why places become institutions, because they're going for consistency. That other aspect, of course, is that they maintain a sense of identity that people want to attach themselves to. If you had your high school graduation dinner with your entire family when grandma was still alive at Chicago Joe's, then 5 years later, Chicago Joe's is still going to mean that time where I had the whole family together and I was in a great mood. And it's going to feel exactly the same and taste exactly the same as it did, which means you're going to come back not just for the flavors you want to repeat, but for the memories you want to indulge.
Yes. Well put. Thank you so much, Brent, for being on CityCast Las Vegas, man. Good talks, good eats.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm always so thrilled to be here. Thank you so much, Vogue.
That's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. If you enjoyed the show, here's what you can do. Send this episode to 3 friends you want to try these restaurants with. Go, do it now. I mean, you don't have to go to a restaurant now, but go send it to your friends. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Y'all take care.
That multi-generational roach infestation that you stated, those roaches are actually ratatouilleing the entire restaurant. They are in charge of the food, and they're also all cowboys. So you just need to chill, bro, because I've talked to them, and they're making some delicious steak right now.
That is the best piece of fan fiction I've ever heard. About Bob Taylor.